Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Says so on the shirt. We got the new threads out. The Ravens head to the land of Cleve for Monday night football. Luke, I canceled my flight on Sunday morning. I canceled my flight from going nowhere. There's a rock song in there somewhere. And Cleveland is about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And you and I looking at like Sid Vicious's, you know, equipment and seeing Jimi Hendrix drawings of SEC artwork. And it's about getting some Michael Simon, but it's about football. And I think this is one of those trips where like, I didn't want to go because of COVID. I know it's not the full environment, but I'm expecting like a full-on football feeling when the Ravens take the field again, because there are stakes in this one that's felt a little different than anything else this year for me.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And Cleveland is allowing, I think it's up to 12,000 fans for Monday night's game. And there aren't many stadiums that are doing that at this point. And certainly not debating the whether that's right or wrong, but just is what it is at this point from a football
standpoint. Oh, I will. It's nuts, but go ahead.
Well, but I'm not trying to veer into that direction of the conversation, because we are talking about a football game that's really important. And when you think about Ravens-Browns, I was thinking about this a little bit a few days ago. I think back to 2-7-7 teams in 2002 and Tim Couch waving to the fans in Baltimore. I think of 2014, the Ravens needing to win the season finale to make the playoffs. Of course, a couple years ago with C.J. Mosley with the pick to clinch the division. There haven't really been many of these where, certainly there haven't been many where this game felt important to both teams.
Well, they all feel the same. The Ravens better win, should win. If they barely win, we're going to complain like hell on Monday. That's been 21 years, literally.
Yeah, and I think it was Field Yates from ESPN noted that this is only going to be the fourth time where the Browns have gone into a Ravens-Browns game with the better record. And you're talking about 22 years, four times out of what, 44 games. It's just extraordinary to really think about that. And we've said this for years. We've talked about it. I included this in my latest 12 Ravens thoughts at BaltimorePositive.com. The Browns have always been too bad to hate them. I mean, I've just never had any animosity toward Cleveland fans.
My dad felt that way about the Washington Senators.
Right. I mean, you can't call something a rivalry when it's been so one-sided. And I know John Harbaugh will talk about the fact that there have been close games, and he's not wrong there, but there was always this overwhelming sense of, even if it was close, even if the Browns led in the fourth quarter, they were going to do something to Brown it up, so to speak, and the Ravens are going to figure out a way to win, or the Browns are going to hand it to them. So will history repeat itself in that way on Monday night? We'll see, but this is certainly a Browns team that is riding high with plenty of confidence after what they did in Nashville last week, and this is a Ravens team that, God bless, beating the Dallas Cowboys, that's great, and it's better than the alternative, but it's not the kind of win that convinced me that all of their November woes are behind them. So this game means so much to both teams. For the Browns, I think it's more psychological, although Pittsburgh losing on Sunday night certainly gives them more incentive because they're not out of the AFC North race in the way the Ravens are. And for the Ravens, it's very obvious. Yeah, you can point to the fact that, okay, Miami lost, and I don't think it really mattered whether it was Indianapolis or Oakland. As far as who won that game for the Ravens, one of them losing was beneficial in the big picture, but I don't think there was a dramatic swing one way or the other. But you know, it comes down to this. This is an opportunity for the Ravens to take care of business and keep themselves in the driver's seat for a playoff spot. They went out, they're in. I think it's a greater than 99% chance, or at least it was going into Sunday, if they win out, that they're going to be in, because the team's ahead of them at this point. Still have some tough games, and as we saw with Oakland and Indy on Sunday, they're going to play each other in some instances. So you win out, you're in. You lose on Monday night, enjoy scoreboard watching the rest of the season, because that's just going to be their reality. And with a 4-5 conference record coming into Monday night's game, that you're not going to get any help there in terms of tiebreakers, other than the possibility of Indianapolis, of course, with the head-to-head. So,
well, you know, someone texted me in the middle of the day on Sunday. We're sitting around Red Zone, and he's like, am I supposed to be rooting for the Colts or the Raiders? I don't. I'm like, well, it. You ask Steve Kornacki after the game, and let's find out what the percentage is. I don't know the Raiders
schedule.
Wasn't
a big difference.
I was calling them Oakland, by the way, but I'll be calling the Cleveland Indians the Indians.
Oakland, L.A., Las Vegas, St. Louis, I guess, was a rumor a few years back for a short time. But
the only real Raider left is Amy Trask, and we all know that.
Right. But looking at some of the New York Times is an NFL playoff simulator, Football Outsiders has their playoff odds. Looking at some of those, I think the Ravens got a little bit of a bump on Sunday. I don't think that game was a major difference one way or the other. It was good because they were playing each other, and one of those teams losing ultimately was beneficial in the long run. So I think the game that was most beneficial to them on Sunday was the outcome you expected, Miami losing to Kansas City. If Miami wins that game, then wow, that puts the Ravens in even more of a position where they need to win on Monday night. But any way you slice it, they win this game against the Browns. They're in a position where take care of business in your final three games against teams that are a combined 8-30-1. That's where where Jacksonville, the Giants, and
the
Bengals
the Giants
are.
Play, and the quarterback doesn't look right there. I mean, Jacksonville looks like Jacksonville, and Cincinnati looks like Cincinnati.
Right.
So, as much as, I'm ordering the eggnog ice cream and the peppermint bark from Tahark, and I'm taking advantage of the 1570 special and all that, I fully expect the holiday season to go uninterrupted, on these Sundays as we move back to like Sunday football. Last time I spent a month of Sundays without watching the NFL was like 1995. You know what I mean? Like, this has been really weird watching everybody else in the league. I'm like, do we get the play? Oh yeah, we play Monday. We play Wednesday. I don't know. We've been the featured game of the week every week, but this one feels more like real than the Dallas game did, or like a Wednesday afternoon, or did against Pittsburgh 2 weeks. This one feels like, this is going to have some heat, that there's a real pennant race feel to it. And Luke, I'm going to put this at your lap, because I sat around thinking about this with Pittsburgh, because 2 weeks ago, Pittsburgh was undefeated, right? And a big shout out to Steve Elliott, who's tried to help my back. So if anybody's watching the video and I'm leaning in, it's there's been you don't want to be 52, Luke. I just want to tell you, you don't ever want to be 52 with the back. But, a 9-3 team that we see on the road, and, whatever the fans mean and whatever the history is, but Pittsburgh was undefeated a couple of weeks ago, didn't look undefeated Sunday night. I go back to the Ravens as, are they going to be the one seed or the two seed, which we felt like throughout the month of September, and it was just them in Kansas City back in the day, remember? Now Buffalo has gotten uppity, and they're involved in this. And I think tonight is a real, it's going to be an indictment of 9-3 if the Browns somehow lose tonight 34-13 to the Ravens at home, right? I don't know if they're a paper 9-3 team, but this is their chance to play the part. This is their chance to play the part of all of that hard knocks promise, all of that, well, the coach was no good last year. And they're missing key components. I mean, I've talked to Daryl Reiter. You can find that out at our podcast. You can subscribe now at Baltimore Positive on our podcast on Stitcher, Apple, iTunes, Google, all that stuff. But 9-3, to your point, it's the fourth time ever that they've had a better record and all this stuff. Well, if you're in Cleveland, you better win, right?
Yeah, no question. And I think a lot of it is, there are some some elements to the argument you can apply to the Ravens. You look at Cleveland's schedule of their 9 wins, only a couple against teams with winning records. And the big indictment for them, and this is where you talk about the psychological aspect for the Browns, I think, even though Kevin Stefanski's in his first year, there are plenty of guys on that roster that have lost and lost a whole lot in the past, is you look at that 9-3, but what does it also consist of? Going to Baltimore week one and getting blown out against Pittsburgh. So 9-3, I don't want to take anything away from that. And look, they had a nice, impressive win against Tennessee, a team the Ravens couldn't beat a couple weeks back. So it's not as though this is even about the Ravens as opposed to the Browns, but it's really a case of, if you want to take Cleveland seriously, It's time to step up against the big boys in the AFC North. I mean, that's really where they are. And you look at the Browns, despite being 9-3, they have a negative point differential. The reason why? Because they were completely just dragged by the Ravens and the Steelers in their two meetings with them this year. So they'll have a chance down the stretch. Of course, they'll have a chance against the Ravens on Monday Night Football. And with Pittsburgh, they'll get a shot. But this really is one of those games where, to your point, are they a legit 10-3 if they win? And then, I mean, they're going to be, what, 99% chance at that point probably to make the playoffs? Or do they lose and you're looking at that and saying, okay, are they a paper tiger? In the same way we look at the Ravens right now and say, okay, they beat Dallas last week. They're 7-5. We know that several wins have been double-digit affairs where they've looked not like 2019, but still look like a really impressive outfit. But they only have a couple wins against teams with winning records, and one of those was Cleveland in week one, as it's turned out. So there's plenty for both of these teams to prove, but on the urgency meter in terms of playoff fate, how that goes, the Ravens certainly have more to lose in this one and more to gain, whereas Cleveland, it's that mental bridge. It's that sense of, okay, you're 9-3, yeah, you're going to make the playoffs. Even if you lose this game, you're very likely to make the playoffs, but are you going to do anything about it? Are you just going to get in and you're going to be happy to play in the wild card round and that's that? Or are you going to be a team that could put you in the company of, say, how we were looking at Tennessee and how they made so much noise in January last year, kind of out of nowhere. So it's a huge opportunity for them, but there is a lot of psychological scarring that they still have to overcome. And I think for them, if you're Kevin Stefanski, you're saying, look, these guys have beaten you to death year after year after year after year. And they beat us up in week one. And look, we can use the excuse that you had a new head coach and new coaches, and you had a lot of turnover from a player standpoint, but it's not week one anymore. We're into December. We're into mid-December. And this is a great opportunity for us. And they're a team that hasn't looked like they did a year ago. So let's go out there and handle business. That's the message for the Browns. And if they do that, you have to, begrudgingly as it might be, you have to accept them as a legit contender. Not at Kansas City's level, because I don't know if anyone's at that level at this point. But they look like more than just a pretender sneaking in. But if the Ravens win, and you're the Browns, and you've been swept by the Ravens, you don't know what's going to happen against the Steelers in that rematch, you're thinking, all right, we're 9-4. Things are still fine, mathematically speaking, in terms of getting in. But if we can't beat the Ravens at home for a Monday Night Football game, what the heck are we going to do in January? So I think there's a lot of that going on the Cleveland side. And on the Ravens side, we just know how important this game is in general for their playoff hopes. They go from being a pretty heavy, distinct favorite to get one of those wild card spots to needing help the rest of the way. And that's just assuming you win your final three games.
Luke Jones is here. He is Baltimore Luke. He will be up late, up early, Monday Night Football in the land of Cleve. The game was so appealing. I almost did it. I almost did it, Luke. I wanted to go. But I'm going to enjoy this one on the couch with my kitty cat, and I'll have some Royal Farms chicken. I'm definitely going to have some Taharka ice cream. I just cleared out a whole pumpkin spice latte, and I cleared out another mint flick. So I'm making room in the freezer for this peppermint bark and eggnog shipment coming later this week. I got orders from headquarters. I better have some eggnog here waiting for the holidays. This version of the Ravens, and I guess I'm trying to wait for the turbulence of COVID and injuries and Brandon Williams not being there and Calais Campbell hobbling around and, you know, letting guys settle into whatever the role is in this new offensive line, right? And kudos to Bradley Bozeman as well for being the nominee this year. Well-placed, by the way. Looking forward to reuniting with him and chatting about his trailer tour of America last year. I kind of forgot that he did it until I watched Ravens Report this week. But for my wife to put the game on last week and say, who are these guys and what numbers match up and all. I mean, we're in week 13 here and we're still like trying to figure out who's wearing what jerseys to some degree and who's going to play. I would say that this is sort of game one of the playoffs or the next season for them, where over the next four games, if they're going to be I don't know. I don't want to see a factor in January. They have the MVP of the league. I mean, they're a factor in January if they get in. I mean, I'm not saying they can't go to Buffalo or Pittsburgh. I don't think they would go to Kansas City and win straight away as comprised right now. But, you know, Mahomes tests positive. Or Kelsey, I mean, anything's possible. But these next 4 weeks, I see them as having – this is three seasons removed from whatever that ass-kicking they laid on the Rams a year ago. That my picture showed up my timeline last week, right? Or the Buffalo game last year, which showed up my timeline.
Feels like 3 years ago.
Right. It was three seasons ago to me. I mean, that was before COVID. Then there was the COVID season. Then there was no preseason, and they were playing games. And in September, they were far ahead of most everybody else other than Kansas City. Then the injuries sort of set in, and they weren't very good, and the offense wasn't working anymore. And then they went into COVID, and I don't know what the hell that was the last 2 weeks. I mean, it's not even like a real team. This, to me, is sort of the kickoff of whatever they're going to be in 2020 and playoffs of 21, because this is going to determine what they are. It's not about Ronnie Stanley or Nick Boyle or Marshall Yanda. That does feel like 3 years ago, right? It's now about, all right, is Duvernay going to be a guy? You know, how's this offensive line going to go? Which running backs are they really going to use? You know, where's Mark Ingram in all of this? You know, is Calais Campbell and Brandon Woods, are they healthy? What's up with the linebackers? Is, you know, are we settled in on Queen and Fortney? Are they going to make tackles? Like, all of that kind of comes to a head on Monday night, where this does feel like a playoff game, to your point. If you lose it, it feels like you lost a playoff game. If you win it, it feels like we're playoff worthy and we're headed in that direction. So that's one of the reasons I almost got on the plane. It's not because I couldn't get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because I think I might have been able to.
Yeah, I mean, and that's where we are at this point. If you can talk plenty about Ronnie Stanley come January if the Ravens are sitting at home. You can talk about missing Marshall Yanda in February when we start turning our sights toward the draft, you know, whatever that process is going to ultimately look like in the midst of a pandemic and, you know, an abbreviated weird college football season. All of those things are still there. And you know, Buck Showalter would talk about this a lot when people would bring up injuries or difficulties in the schedule. You'd have some rainouts, some doubleheaders, whatever it is. And he'd say, oh, those are all convenient excuses if you want to look at it that way. And that's kind of where the Ravens are at this point. We can point to some of the injuries they've had. We can point to what they dealt with in November from a health standpoint and from the COVID outbreak standpoint, and how, looking back, you can say, well, that cost them the Pittsburgh game, and very well possible, but it's reality. So you go into this game on a Monday night against Cleveland, and you need to win, because if you don't, then yeah, it's looking more likely that you'll have some time in January to really reflect on what went wrong, or you can rally the troops a little bit, so to speak, and get the win. You're in a much more enviable position in terms of a clear path to the playoffs if you win your final three then. And then you see what happens. And really, if you really look at it, because we mentioned the schedule, when you're hosting Jacksonville, you're hosting the Giants, who had looked better recently, but Daniel Jones still doesn't look right. Who knows what that's going to look like? Is it him? Is it Colt McCoy? I mean, it's still a game they should win. I think we all agree on that. And then you go to Cincinnati. This is also their last chance, not just from a standpoint of wanting to keep their playoff fate in their hands, so to speak, but this is their last chance to impress you, right? I'm not going to be impressed by them beating Jacksonville at home. I'll kind of shrug my shoulders if they beat the Giants at home. Okay, if they beat them 60-3, all right, maybe we'll have a different conversation then. But if they kind of win in conventional ways against those teams and go to Cincinnati and take on a Bengals team that has just been absolutely god-awful offensively and doesn't have Joe Burrow, and Mixon's been out, and A.J. Green looks like a shell of what he used to be, I'm not going to be impressed by those games. So if we're talking about what this looks like, even if they do make it and get into January, we're going to be pointing back to how they looked against the Browns in a hostile environment, as hostile as 2020 can be from a crowd standpoint, and whether they took care of business and how they looked in the process of that. And you know, I'm not sure you're going to learn a whole lot about them in the final 3 weeks in terms of the eyeball test, so to speak, other than just if they're healthy. So they are in a much better position from a COVID standpoint. I mean, Dez Bryant was kind of the one question lingering over the weekend, and he's had negative tests, and John Harbaugh didn't really offer much clarity as far as what his eligibility could be, considering he's tested negative multiple times since the initial positive. That the league protocol suggests hypothetically you can be activated earlier under that scenario, but we're still talking about Dez Bryant, who's done what for the Ravens so far? I mean, he's not exactly a crucial to their success one way or the other.
You're mentioning AJ Green, and I'm thinking they're both in the category of not CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, this game's just so important on so many levels. And to your point, it really is a playoff game. Their season doesn't end if they lose, but you're at the mercy of what's happening the rest of the way. I mean, you're scoreboard watching Miami, you're scoreboard watching Indy, you're still scoreboard watching Las Vegas, even though the Raiders have not been impressive over the last few weeks. And think about it, they were a bad defensive call by Greg Williams, the former Jets defensive coordinator, from losing to them as well, and kind of being totally out of it at this point. So you're still watching all those teams if you lose against the Browns. And in the meantime, you're going to have three opponents that, yeah, you absolutely should beat, but three opponents where I'm not going to sit there and pat you on the back and say, wow, great job, you guys are really ready for the postseason, because they're teams that they absolutely should beat, and they should beat handily. So this is their last big test from an eyeball test standpoint. But before you even think about that, you need to win the football game, because it becomes a case where you're hoping and you're looking at the scoreboard, and you don't want to be in that position. And they've been in that position before, and sometimes it works out. Other times you get your feelings hurt. So
it usually gets your feelings hurt in Cincinnati on the last week too, as I remember.
Yeah. And maybe the Bengals aren't capable of doing that in week 17 this year, but you don't want to be in that position. So this is your opportunity to all but completely control your path to the playoffs with a win. But if you don't, then you're watching the scoreboard, and perhaps more importantly than that, all those doubts that started to creep in November, and yeah, you could point to the Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams injuries, and of course you could point to the COVID infections and the guys they were missing for certainly the Pittsburgh game, but still guys that were missing against Dallas. But those guys are all back, other than, you know, the question of Calais Campbell with his calf and missing practice and how effective he's going to be if he does go on Monday night. But you know, it really is a case of you lose that game, not only are you scoreboard watching, but how do you have any confidence that you're going to do anything anyway? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And yeah, I remember 2012, and yeah, I can remember the 2009 team getting in week 17 and then going to New England and shocking the Patriots. But you know, that doesn't happen every year. And you do get to a point, just like I was talking about with the Browns, trying to validate their 9-3 start. The Ravens, I think they need some, not validation from other people, but I think they need it for themselves. I think there's a sense of wanting to recapture some of that aura that they had last year, that I don't think a win over the Cowboys did that. I think they had fun. I think it was great to see them rush for almost 300 yards, but you know, the Cowboys are a lousy team, and the Browns are not a lousy team. You know, I'm not convinced they're great, but they're good at least. So this is a great opportunity for them to not only improve their positioning, of course, but I think to really help themselves mentally to kind of at least get back to feeling like the team they were last year, even if their record shows they're not that close.
Beginning the day with a little football. It's game day here, Monday Night Football. Bah, 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 bah. A great day to order your ice cream. The 8-pack available on the floor behind me, and the Taharka bus will bring it to you. Some of the flavors are starting to sell out. I'm going to tell you, you got to get up there and make that happen. Big announcement from our friends at Taharka coming after the game on Tuesday and Wednesday. Luke and I'll be getting together to discuss the remnants. I'll be going down to Jacksonville this week and getting ready for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Got some pals down there, as well as some Baltimore positive holiday cheer. Make sure you're shopping local. We had Teal Carey on from Catonsville Chamber of Commerce, as well as Nancy Hafford. They're both out at Baltimore positive right now, talking about the importance of the next couple of weeks, staying safe, washing your hands. Luke, I wanted to go to Cleveland because, like, this one felt big. You know, it felt like it's the type of thing I wanted to do, but I've abstained. You know, we're all trying to stay safe through all of this stuff. But this is really where, from a an entertainment standpoint, a Ravens loss here would really be a little dour for the holidays, considering where we were. And like, this is all the fun we're going to have for a while, I feel, right? You mentioned the other day, like college basketball, it's not going to finish. So how am I going to get vested when it starts?
Well, and it just hasn't been a particularly fun atmosphere, at least when I've been watching on TV. But I thought you were going to take a dig at Cleveland, assuming they don't wash their hands in Cleveland. You know, I was waiting for that dig on Browns fans.
I'm going to write that one down. Hold on, let me get that one. That's a good one. I'll use that one.
As much as I said a few minutes ago that the Browns have always been too bad that I've
what
never really...
What time's kickoff tonight? Is it 8:05 or 8:25? I will be using that one right around then. You want to know why I didn't go to Cleveland? They don't wash their hands. They let 12,000 people in the stadium. What the hell's wrong
there
with you people?
Go.
There you go. Is that good?
There
it's
you
early
go.
In the morning.
In
man.
The
don't,
same
don't get
way
off
that...
my lawn me here on a Monday morning. Come on.
In the same way that you afforded me the mustard pants, the Ravens bringing those out against Pittsburgh, or that suggestion anyway, of course they didn't, but you have my blessing to use that joke for the
Cleveland
faithful.
By the way, I thought about you.
With the hand washing.
And as I usually think, I don't think about you when it comes to the Orioles or the Ravens or the
Oh, you're going to talk about the blood clot uniforms, aren't you?
I'm going to talk about fashion tweets here for a moment because this is your segment of expertise on the internet somehow. I don't know. You know, I'm going to get Todd Radom
my little expertise, I guess.
I'll get Todd on, who's the logo guy, you know. But the Bills wearing a primary red, wrong.
That's weird.
Would say that would be like the Ravens taking the field in primary mustard. And I know that would like, and most people know this, I hate the taste of mustard. So like, even though I'm looking at my Dundalk High jacket in my closet, it's Kelly green and gold. It's not mustard, it's gold, right? But the mustard color of the Ravens jerseys, I really like the pants. I thought it evoked an early 70s sort of AFL, NFL merger, Redskins when the Browns were orange. You know, like, to me, it looked like a 1974 football card in a perfect way because it was a perfect palette number for mustard for the pants. So, but that being said, the Ravens should never take the field in mustard jerseys in the same way that the Bills should never take the field in red.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of those, although it's funny. Recently, I was talking to my brother-in-law about this. I don't mind that as much from the standpoint of at least that's one of their colors. You know, red has been a Bills color for a long time, even if it's not their primary one that you think about their blue jerseys and Jim Kelly and go all the way back. What really bugs me more so than that are the teams that deliberately wear a black alternate uniform. And black is not one of their colors whatsoever. I mean,
which team
you
see talking about?
Lots of teams. I mean, in college football, you'll see it all the time. Teams that will come out in an all
well,
black
college football is a joke. We know that. I mean, they've proven that this year.
But you like the 49ers. I don't think they were wearing them anymore. But the 49ers a few years ago had an all black uniform they wore. I mean, like, where's that come from? That's not one of your primary colors. I mean, black. And I guess a lot of teams could say black's their.
Like the Patriots
color,
have never worn black, right? The Giants have never worn black.
But there have been the Cardinals, for example, have an all black uniform. It's like
the Jets
Cardinals
have worn
are red
black.
And white.
I've seen the Jets wear black.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a fan of that. Like the
by
Ravens,
the way, the worst uniforms in sports are when the Mets wear black and they turned it into a primary color.
They
look
went
like
away
they're
from
wearing
that,
their
though.
Pajamas.
They went away from that though. They ended that a few years back.
Good.
That's the only thing
lousy.
The Mets do well.
Oscar Madison gives it a thumbs down.
But yeah, but going back to what you said, yeah, I'm not a big fan of the all red. Susquehannock, the school high school I went to, is red and white. So I have nothing against red uniforms, but the Bills, yeah, I'm not.
What
a
was
fan
your
of
nickname?
That,
the Mighty.
The Warriors.
Warriors. That's what I was going to say.
Susquehannock Warriors. Yeah.
Warriors come out to play.
Exactly.
Long movie. Luke Jones is here in Baltimore. Luke, see, people think I don't watch movies. My wife would have thought, he's seen a movie. Yeah, Michael Beck. Pretty good flick. I liked it. Get the baseball bats out. I'll get my Tony Gwynn special out. It's football on Monday night. Can I just ask one more fashion thing? Because we never talk fashion tweets. And
sure.
What the hell else we have to talk about around here? Will they ever wear the mustard again? I mean, like, I have never asked Kevin Byrne or Steve Bisciotti or Pat Moriarty or, you know, anybody in the brass. I've never pulled them up and said, did they hate them as much as Luke did? Or because I kind of like the mustard. Not that I want to see them, you know, every week or anything. I did not think that was a travesty in the way that you do.
I would guess no at this point. And one, it's been 5 years. It was 2015 against Kansas City.
All I remember is Matt Judon, Jimmy, right? And I remember Justin Tucker, right?
No, Judon wasn't a Raven at that point.
No.
That was before him. Yeah, that was still Courtney Upshaw and guys like that.
So hold on, I'm gonna pull up, if everybody's watching, because I know a lot of people watch us on the stream, I'm gonna pull this up just to make you vomit a little bit. Who is 11? That was the wide ribs. Wallace? Is that Wallace?
That would have been Kamar Aiken.
Kamar Aiken. Okay, I'm trying to figure out who the players are. 37. I see that was the running back from Southern Cal, right?
Buck Allen.
Buck Allen, right? Okay. 96 was the big kid from Toronto, Brent Urban, right? There's Brandon Moyes. Dude, they don't look bad. That's not a bad look, dude. That is not.
You're out of your mind.
The Terps wear all worse every week than that.
Oh, I did.
The Bills
look
worse than that on Sunday night.
I'll say this while we're talking about uniforms.
That is not a bad look, dude. You just weren't around in the 70s.
You couldn't be more wrong. But what I will say, you just mentioned the Terps. The uniforms they wore Saturday against Rutgers, and look, I know Tua's brother was out, and that was disappointing, and overtime loss, all that. Those throwbacks that they wore on Saturday with the red helmet with the script Terps makes you think back to Boomer and that era. That should be their primary uniform. That is a beautiful uniform that they wore. I know they brought – last year was the first year they brought that back as a throwback. I think it was last year. It might have been the year before. But – that is a clean look. That is a great uniform.
Well, they're all caught up in the logo like we are with the crab, right?
Yeah,
you know, like the, you
exactly.
Know, that's really where it's at.
No. But to answer your question, I don't think we're going to see the mustard pants back. And I think the league may, I could be wrong on this because they've really relaxed some of their uniform rules.
Clearly.
But
watch the Bills play.
Right. But I think the league allows for three different colored. And that's not even right because the Ravens have four, actually. But they have the white pants. They have the black pants, of course. But remember, they started wearing the purple pants the last few years. I think that, quote unquote, replaced the gold mustard pants. I like the purple pants way more than the mustard pants. And we should never see the mustard pants again. Unless it's a case like what happened to them going to Pittsburgh where it's an ugly game. You know, you can wear them in a year where they stink at some point because it's going
to
happen.
You know, I'm going to give you a chance to pick the game right now so you can be wrong twice today. Just because so
why do you say that?
Because you said the mustard pants should never come back. You're wrong once. Well, I want to give you a chance to pick the game, and that way you can be wrong twice.
So you're assuming I'm picking the Browns?
No, I don't know who you're picking. I don't know what you're doing.
Well, you just said I'm going to be wrong.
I don't know.
Wow, man.
I'm giving you a chance to be wrong.
I must come across as such a
I'm giving you a chance to redeem yourself.
Now, I'll say this. I'll be totally honest. I was leaning toward picking the Browns all week. And I am
concerned. Your heart won't let you.
I am concerned about the Ravens' defensive front with Calais Campbell. Whether he plays or not, he did not look right against Dallas. He missed practice all week. So even if he suits up, I'm not sure what he's going to look like. And we talked about this a little bit last week. That Dallas offensive line is as ravaged as they've been from injuries. The Ravens didn't dominate in the trenches the way I thought they would in that game. And that worries me a little bit going into the Cleveland game where, look, we can talk about the Browns and, you know, Baker Mayfield and certain areas of either side of the ball that have some deficiencies, but that's a really good offensive line they're going up against. And with Calais Campbell not being 100%, if he is out there, and some of the other guys on that front where, you know, they haven't gotten a whole lot. They have six sacks over their last six games. You know, go back to the Carson Wentz game where they just brutalized the Eagles offensive line. Since then, we haven't seen that. And I know Wink Martindale will say the quarterbacks have gotten the ball out quick, and that is true, but I need to see more from this defensive front against a really good offensive line to have a lot of confidence that, one, they're going to stop the run, and two, that they're going to harass Baker Mayfield into making the mistakes that he makes when he's pressured. Because if you give him a little bit of time, he's been playing at a high level recently. So that being said, and as much as we talked about the psychological lift or block or obstacle, however you want to characterize it for Cleveland in this one, the Ravens are the team that truly needs to be more desperate because Cleveland's pretty comfortably in the field at this point, barring an epic collapse. Whereas the Ravens have work to do. So I'm going to buy enough stock that they're going to be desperate enough. And the fact that they had as close to a normal practice week as they've had in a few weeks, and just about everyone's going to be back. I'll give them enough desperation in that front to pull out a 27-23 win, but I could see the Browns winning by 10. I could see the Ravens winning by 10. I could see this being a game that goes down to a blocked field goal return for a touchdown like it did 5 years ago on Monday Night Football. So I think there are lots of possibilities, but this game is just so important for the Ravens that if they don't go out and take care of business tonight, if not now, then when? And look, you can beat the Jags, you can beat the Giants, you can beat Cincinnati, and maybe the Dolphins will lose enough games down the stretch, or the Raiders won't take care of business down the stretch. But when you're counting on those things, it's really tough to look ahead to January. And even if you do manage to get in, to think that there's going to be anything of consequence happening. So we'll see. I'm going 27-23 Ravens win, but I'm not overly confident with that pick. Let's put it that way.
Monday Night Football in the land of Cleve. We will be monitoring all things, including the post game. We'll be back after it on Tuesday all day long. Another short week, but at least Sunday football next week.
Yeah, imagine
here.
That.
So we'll have a little bit of that to go with our holiday festivities. Baltimore Luke can be found at Baltimore Luke, out on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all those places. You can find me, Ness, at BaltimorePositive.com. Make sure you find that ice cream. It's a great gift. It's $40. It's one click. You get $15.70 off the $56 deal, and they deliver it to your door. Don Moeller, I've never seen him happier than when he got the peppermint bark to his door the other day. Let's see, what else? Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Snapchat, Instagram, and anywhere you are, including our new Baltimore Positive podcast audio vault. So you subscribe out wherever you get your podcast, and we come to you. It's pretty cool how this radio thing works. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. At least for a day, we never stop talking. Baltimore Ravens football, Baltimore sports, and Baltimore Positive.